The Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL.
That drum beat.
Buzz, it's not
we
my
all
favorite.
We know what that means, baby.
It's not my favorite, but it's up there with one of the best ones. Hello, everyone. Welcome.
I love the primetime music.
Oh, I love all their primetime music, especially when Carrie Underwood comes out of nowhere. And she's got a new song, apparently.
Who isn't waiting all day for Sunday night?
She's got a new one debuting, apparently.
Yeah, that's right. I think they're trying to spruce it up every year now. For a few years there, they sort of rehashed the same old one, and then the last couple of years they've done a brand new one each time, and you know, change the words, but just change the melody and the music a little bit. So I'll be very interested to be kicking back on Monday morning to watch that the Cowboys and the Giants is the first Sunday night.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. In case you haven't already guessed, we're talking NFL. What we thought we would do was break down each division and sort of pick who we think will win. But, yeah, go through each team in the divisions in a very, I think, hotly contested year, personally. And we'll start with probably the hotly contested conference, and that which will be the AFC. There's only 7 spots available, and that's going to be very, very hard this year.
The AFC is just, it's got a lot. It's got a lot of depth, and there's plenty of teams in each division that you could absolutely see. The ball's got to bounce their way. You know, there's certain things are still got to happen throughout the season. Have a fairly injury-free run. If that happens, then it's very hotly contested. NFC, not so much. There's the upper echelon, and then there's some good teams, and it could be all over the shop.
Well, so much no more than the first division we'll talk about, and that'll be the AFC East. So, what's interesting about this division this year is all 4 teams can legitimately, at least in my opinion, have a chance of winning this division. We'll start with the Buffalo Bills. What do you think of them this year?
I mean, it's put up or shut up time for Buffalo, I think. The expectations has been on them for a few years now. They haven't really delivered in the playoffs. They're a very good regular season team. As last year, they have 4 losses, 12-4 last year. So I think, yeah, it's put up or shut up now for Josh Allen and that crew. Pretty much, I mean, I don't think they made a whole lot of wholesale changes. They got a new running back core. Singletary's gone, and is it Zach Moss is there now?
It's James Cook and
it's the Cook brother, not the Moss brother.
And Harris, who came from the Patriots,
from the Pats.
So, their biggest need was shoring up that offensive line a little bit more, and getting Connor McGovern on that offensive line should help it a little bit more. Because that's why
they're going to miss. They'll miss Von Miller. He's on the IR, so they'll miss him for the first 4 weeks. Still sort of recovering from that ACL injury, and also a good pickup with Leonard Floyd as well. To sort of, I guess, a little bit of a veteran head on the defensive side. They picked him up for on a 1-year deal. So I think that's important for him. They need to. I mean, I've been watching tons and tons of NFL Live as of late, and some jarring statistics, especially over the last few years with the amount of turnovers. We all criticize Daniel Jones for being a turnover machine, but, you know, sneakily, well, whether you want to say sneakily or not, but Josh Allen, especially last year, was a bit of a turnover machine.
He was one of the worst last year because he tries to do, and this is why they needed to shore up the offensive line a bit. He tries to do the glory play every single time.
That's so right.
If he's not going for a, you know, a 60-yard bomb to Diggs, he's trying to run and get that first down. So you're right. It's put up or shut up. We'll keep going through the division, but I'll tell you what I think of them, or at least who I think will win this division. The next one, Miami Dolphins, looked good, realistically looked really good up until their quarterback Tua went down with a couple of concussions last year. So
historically accurate, he was in all of his starts. Like that's been his biggest attribute, is he's unbelievably accurate. You've seen it last year with their sort of two-headed wide receiver monster and Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. They combined, I think, for nearly 3,000 yards or just over 3,000 yards. I think Waddle had 1,300 and Tyreek Hill had like 1,800. So it's expectations in South Florida are very high on this team as well. Defensively, I guess they sort of made a few moves to sort of try and keep up with the division a little bit. They did sign Jalen Ramsey, but he got hurt in training camp. So they picked up Eli Apple as sort of a little bit of cover on that side. Jalen Phillips, I think, is prime for a big year. The linebacker there, he's ready to explode. Like he was good last year. I think he's ready to hit his prime and catapult Miami's defense to be a top defense. And if they get plays on both sides of the ball and Tua stays healthy, whew, that's a scary machine.
So that's the key, what you just said then, is if Tua stays healthy and they get a full season of Tua.
Everything rides on Tua being
then,
healthy.
They're going to make a lot of noise if Tua stays healthy, because Tariq's come out basically said he wants 2,000 yards this year and legitimately has a huge chance of getting it. So
absolutely,
they look very good. And realistically, like we said, it's all on the back of Tua staying healthy, because their only backup is Mr. Mike White. So we know how he goes.
Well, you know, if you don't need a whole lot from him, if you don't need to rely on him week after week, like he's got that ability to be able to fill in, you know, for a game, maybe two games. You probably don't want to rely on him for too much more than that, but he does have that sort of explosiveness about him, like, you know, in a pretty poor Jets team last year. So there's definitely potential there. I don't think, you know, they lost Bridgewater as their backup. But he's gone to Minnesota. Did he go back? No, he didn't go back to Minnesota. I'll find out where he went back to in a minute. A solid backup. But yeah, no, there's definitely lofty expectations for Miami this year.
Next team's the New England Patriots. Now, interesting team. I mean, really predicated. Their whole team's predicated on how good Bill Belichick is. So, like, realistically, I know that sounds, you know, kind of dumb, but I think he, especially on the over and unders, when I look at their win record, I think I think he gets that little bit of bump in his favor. So it's a Belichick bump, but at least this year they realized that Matt Patricia isn't actually a play caller, so they actually brought Bill O'Brien back in the fold.
Bill O'Brien's move back there now. So that'll be interesting how he sort of incorporates Mac Jones. They scored Devontae Parker. They got Juju Smith-Schuster. So they've got Kendrick Bourne there as well. So they've got an all right wide receiving core there. It'll just be how everything sort of gets put together. You know, can Judon on the defensive side have another year like he did last year? He just got an upticked deal. I think it's worth like $18 million a season for Judon. So big
phenomenal year last year. He had a phenomenal year.
Unbelievable.
Last year.
And
they have a very good
defensive.
They'll
need that again.
They're a very good defensive team.
Yeah, that's right.
Just their offense and using Mac Jones' limitations to their advantage, realistically, because you've got that bell cow in the back there, Ramondre Stevenson, who had another great year. And I love it. I think he's one of the best. He's one of the best running backs, quietly one of the best running backs.
He doesn't get talked about a lot, does he?
That's right. But he was top 10 last year, and I think he was just outside top 10 the year before. So I think, again, we said about all these teams, I still think they have a huge chance of winning this division, or at least possibly getting that wild card spot.
It's a possibility. I think that they'll obviously be probably the lower, the lowest team in this division. But it just depends on the progression of Mac Jones. Hopefully he can stay upright and healthy, because they don't have a lot of backup stocks. They picked up Matt Corral from the Panthers from last year. He was on the IR all last year. They picked him up. They ditched their boy Bailey Zappi. I think he's been renamed on the practice squad. So that's a bit disappointing for him, for the fanfare that was sort of put around him for 2.5 games last year. But like you said, it's a collective effort. What can Bill O'Brien produce with this offense? Hopefully you'll see some glaring changes there, as opposed to Matt Patricia calling plays.
And the final team is probably the most talked about team in this division. That's the New York Jets.
What happened
with the Jets this offseason? I haven't heard a single thing about what's going on with the Jets. Hit me with it. What's happening with the Jets?
Well, they did trade for finally. Let's say the second time they've done this with the Green Bay Packers. The first time was with Brett Favre. And who had one of the
greatest 9-game stretches of his career, and then he got hurt.
Someone that took over him was Aaron Rodgers, who's now being traded to the New York Jets. So weird delineage. But
so strange to see him in that uniform. The Hard Knocks is following the Jets around. So I don't know if you've been watching much of that. I've only been watching sort of little snippets of it. That doesn't really interest me too much, the Hard Knocks sort of thing. I think it's all just a big puff piece.
But now, after watching those couple, it was great, but I'm just trying to think, it's a bit sugar-coated now because
it's a big puff piece, man. They used to
show the players that who was getting cut, and I thought that was awesome. They don't show that anymore. Now they only show the ones that make it. So real puffy. Righto. But anyway, they had a slew of, obviously Aaron Rodgers was the biggest move there, but they did have a slew of additional signings because Rodgers was there. The two receivers, his boy Lazard's there now. Mecole Hardman is there.
His boy Randall Cobb's there too.
Oh yeah, another boy Randall Cobb. Yeah, forgot about him. Good point.
Rallying the boys.
But a quiet one who I know he was pretty good on the Ravens last year, Chuck Clark. The safety, he's pretty good.
Their defense is
beast. Like their defense is insane. Quinnen Williams, who just signed a massive contract there, and probably is one of the five best rushers in the game, and it's still only 22, 23. It's their offensive line.
And is a large human being. I think he would have trouble walking through my door front ways. I think he'd have to turn sideways to get through the door. He is a big, big dude.
And he's a very soft dude too, as in not soft on the field. He's
softly spoken. He doesn't
like people. Just in a Hard Knocks episode, he doesn't like when people call him fat, because he said I've lost like 20 or 30 pounds. You just can't tell, obviously, because he's so huge.
When you're 380 pounds, when you lose 20, that means nothing. The offensive
line scares me, just so you know.
The offensive line is going to be not going to be a huge problem, but that's their weakness right there. be able to protect Aaron Rodgers so he can get Garrett Wilson into the game. You know, obviously they picked up Dalvin Cook as well. He couldn't get the money that he wanted from other teams, so he settled with going to the Jets. There was a few teams that were in the Dalvin Cook sweepstakes, but obviously he wanted a little bit too much cash. So he's taken pretty much the only option that he could in going to the Jets. So I think that will be a good backup for Breece Hall. He's coming off the injury, so I think he's going to be on a snap count for the first few weeks. So Dalvin Cook will definitely get some early reps in the first couple of weeks while they sort of work Breece Hall back in, and then he'll take predominantly, I would assume, a backup running back role. But not a bad backup running back to have, is it?
No, that's right. It's unfortunate because I still think Dalvin Cook is one of the better running backs in the game.
Oh, but yeah, no, it's a travesty that he is a backup on the Jets. Like, he is absolutely a starting number one running back.
But on the flip side, I like Breece Hall, and I think Breece Hall is definitely a number one running back as well. So
no, yeah, that's right.
You've got to go with the future.
It's the durability. Like, when you get hurt in your rookie season like he did, then I think, you know, question marks obviously arise all around over the top of that. So it's a good insurance policy for the Jets if Breece Hall does go down again like he did last year. Pretty sure they got Michael Carter still on the roster as well. So they've obviously got a competent number three running back as well.
So who wins this division? Although I'm scared for them still, I still have the Bills winning this division.
Buffalo will still win the division.
Miami scares me.
Not that
me.
I don't
Miami
have any doubts me. At that. The super unknown is the Jets.
I think they're the unknown, but it's the Miami one that scares me more. If that team's freaking healthy, they are stacked.
Oh, no, absolutely. It's still there for the Bills. For me, the Bills to lose this division.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You'd think that they would still be fairly dominant like they have been over the last few years. So I think as long as they don't shit the bed, then the division is there for them to win. So, but for me, the super unknown is the Jets. Rodgers had a few snaps here and there throughout the preseason. So I guess to sort of get his legs under him a little bit. So it'll be interesting. Week one, how we go. I think it's that they've got the opening Monday night football game. So, which is a bit, it's on September 11th. So that'll be a super emotional MetLife Stadium on the outskirts of New York City on that Monday night game for Rodgers' debut. So, there'll be a lot of hoopla and fanfare surrounding that game. So that'll be awesome to watch. I can't wait.
And Buffalo favorites on that division at $2.15. So
yeah, that seems about right.
Seems about right. So the next division is the AFC North, another division that can go to me, for me at least, can go any which way, because there's four very good teams in there.
Three potential winners. I think three potential winners.
I'd throw out four, even possibly, depending on certain little things. But I'd love to see who you're thinking the fourth is. Probably not the one I'm thinking. First team's the Baltimore Ravens. Now, obviously, besides the big re-signing of Lamar Jackson, which was always sort of hanging or looming over the head.
It was very long and drawn out too, wasn't it?
Which kind of scares me a little. I don't know about this. I mean, I love Lamar Jackson. I just don't know about this side because, I mean, on the back of signing Odell Beckham and Aguilar and Justice Hill, they didn't really do too much on the offensive and the defensive side as much. Realistically, they did pick up Zay Flowers in the rookie draft.
In the draft, that's right.
He's very good wide receiver.
He's got to produce straight away. I think
that's
with
right.
their wide receiver stocks, I think he's got to come out there and assert himself as their top receiver straight up.
I totally agree. It's just what scares me with them is
Lamar hasn't really played a full healthy season for about 2 or 3 years.
That's right, and that was the whole conjecture about his everything surrounding his contract. He wanted bulk guaranteed money. We can all blame a team that's in this division for this, and the Cleveland Browns and their idiotic move to guarantee every single dollar of the Sean Watson's contract. Pure insanity.
Yes, that's
and
true.
And that's what Lamar Jackson wanted. He's just like, hey, man, he bet on himself. He's like, I'm better than him. Where's my fully guaranteed contract? And it's like, well, hang on. Like, you get nicked up. It's just a product of the game. Like, I sort of sit on the fence when it comes to the guaranteed contract side of things and the way that the NFL works. But, you know, it's a business. The NBA is the worst for it. Like, you know, all this load management BS and it's sitting out games, you still get a paycheck, still get a guaranteed paycheck. These guys, if they don't play, they don't get paid.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, that was the big thing that was hanging over the head of the Baltimore Ravens all this year. Get the contract done. Picked up Zay Flowers in the draft. Picked up Jadeveon Clowney. He sort of hung around free agency for a long time. Why is that? Was his price too high? You know, for his production, like he's a very polarizing character. I think a good pickup, and also I think this offense is going to change a little bit after Greg Romans has been gone from. Yeah, it was axed last year, so their offense is going to be very different this year. I think.
We don't know much about Todd Monken, or I tried looking in for it, I couldn't see much about Todd Monken. So you're right, that one to me will be interesting. Hence why I don't know what this team is going to be, but I guess it's realistically a wait and see with them.
Wait and see.
Next team, the Cincinnati Bengals. Still for me. A very, very, very good team on the back of their young quarterback, Joe Burrows, who's up for his technically re-signing. Not that I don't think he's in a massive hurry, but he's definitely up for it.
I think he wants to get it done before the first snap of the season, and he's obviously had his issues this off-season with a calf complaint. I think was that in the first or the second preseason game?
Yeah.
And he hasn't really seen any action since. They're saying that he will absolutely be the start of week one coming up against Cleveland. So the big thing for me is it's like a lot of the star quarterbacks around is protection, 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 protection. They signed Orlando Brown. That will help. That will help out on that front end. The scary stat that I seen over this offseason is over the last two seasons, he's been sacked 121 times.
Yeah, that's right. But most of that, in saying that, they did very well last year. That the year before.
No, that's right. Right. They did a whole
they
lot
did
better
very
than
well
the
last
year before.
Year.
So
that's
imagine
right.
what the year before was.
Oh, I remember. Remember those first few games when I think it was 14 sacks or something in the first three games. It was insane.
He got brutalized. Well, to put it in perspective, the next most quarterback that's been sacked as over the last 2 years was Justin Fields. And it was only 91 times. So he's been hit 30 more times than Justin Fields in the last 2 years. And it feels like he was running for his life over the last 2 years. So yeah, Joe Burrow. They need protection up front. Obviously, they've got one of the best young wide receivers in the game in Ja'Marr Chase. So, Joe Mixon as well, who I really like at running back. So that's just part of their DNA. They've again lofted the expectations on the Bengals. I think they've got a lot to play for. They need to start off hot out of the blocks.
Oh, no, I totally agree. Although they're traditionally a very slow starter, so if they sort of continue what they did last year, I think they'll be a huge AFC team again. The Cleveland Browns. Now, I mean, obviously their whole side is predicated on how good Deshaun Watson is going to be, because they, for me, the defense is one of the top five defenses in the league. Like, they have a very, very good defensive side, personally.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, Miles Garrett's the linchpin there. So, excuse me. Denzel Ward, if he can have a healthy season this year as well, a cornerback. I think defensively they can be quite strong. And it's a full off season with Deshaun Watson, and you know, participating in everything. He's had a few preseason starts, you know, and then been taken off. So which is
good. Like, he didn't go out and do anything. You know, I'm not saying he had to, but he just went and did the off season. He just kept quiet and kept his nose down, which is probably what he was told to do.
That's exactly what he got to do.
He did it. So.
Yep.
I mean, he did it. So
keep out of the media.
I think if he can get back to his Houston form, I don't think they'll win this division, but I do think they'll shock a few teams. They're a very hard division. And to be frank, I know we said about the as bad as the guaranteed money is, in this division, they kind of had to try something. Was it the smartest way to do it? Probably not. But they had to try something in this division. And because this division is just too hot.
There's ways to go about it. You can have an incentive-based contract. Like, there's ways to go about it rather than just... It's not so much the fact of the guaranteed money is definitely part of it. It's the situation that he's just come out of in Houston. And to guarantee that guy $212 million every single dollar of the contract. And it that would have upset 29 other owners. So
on the plus side for the Browns, considering the contracts that'll go around for your Joe Burrows, your Justin Herberts and everybody else, Jalen Hurts, and everybody and all those. Obviously, they'll get more money than him. They might get more guarantee, but on the plus side, for the Browns, they're not having to worry about that now. Like, they hire $270 million.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I guess the Burrow contract's going to be. That's what the Justin Herbert contract just has been. Jalen Hurts keeps playing the way he is. He's going to get a fat max contract. So
they'll just keep going up and up. They won't go backwards. Exactly.
I mean, and there's only so far they really can, because, you know, an NFL roster is 53 guys. Man, how much do you want to eat out of the salary cap? And it's a hard cap. Like, there's no messing around like there is in the NBA.
I agree, but it's, you know, if you've got someone, I agree what you're saying, but if you've got someone like a Joe Burrow, like, you know, Patrick Mahomes and all that. Yeah, $50 million of that hard cap is going to just go to them. You just have to grin and bear it, because they are literally their game winners, and that's kind of
well,
it.
Well, no,
game
that's right. Winners. And you've got to take advantage of it when you need.
That's right. So the last team was the Pittsburgh Steelers, They sort of plugged in. I think they really concentrated on the defensive side, because, like, get Keanu Neal, the safety, and Patrick Peterson, the corner, because their defense was a bit stagnant last year.
Especially when TJ Watt got hurt.
Well, that's right. Yeah. And they did lose a couple. They lost Devin Bush and they lost Terrell Edmonds as well. So they kind of shored up where they needed to.
Massive loss, huge losses.
Yeah, no, totally agree. I think their biggest thing is going to be how will Kenny Pickett go? Because
Kenny Pickett, year two.
Again, I think, again, just like Belichick, I think Mike Tomlin, gets a bit of a bump for the over-under win total because Mike Tomlin is Mr. Consistent, and he's a very, very good coach. So he gets
he's never had a season with the Pittsburgh Steelers where he's been under 500.
He's always been 500 or better. A losing season, as they call them. So, I think I'll move in the right direction. I just don't know if they'll win this division. I think they're a sneaky, at least for me, they're a sneaky wild card team.
Look, they if they win their out of division games, then and then push your divisional opponents, maybe you can sneak into that conversation. But I mean, for me, I don't have the hugest expectations on the Steelers other than getting those 9 wins to be above 500 again.
So you sound like sort of like me. I'm going for the Bengals in this division.
Yeah, Bengals. Bengals in the division. Like I said, Cleveland, I think if consistency, Cleveland could possibly be the number two. And who the hell knows? It's a complete and utter restructure at Baltimore. So that's the unknown factor for this division. I think it's how they come out and how they start this season. If they look nice and crisp and a nice offense, then yeah, the sky's the limit. The Jackson contract is out of the way, all done now. So that monkey's off the back. It's time to push on. And they're not so much like Buffalo. I think really fear for them. The expectation has been on them for a few years now. I think it's a tough division, but I think it's it's their time to put up or shut up.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So moving on to the not so great division, and it seems to be either any sort of South. I shouldn't say that, but it kind of is. But the AFC South,
it is.
In alphabetical, the first team is Houston Texans. They had the number. They were pretty aggressive. Pretty aggressive in the draft. They took CJ Stroud, a quarterback, and really, really wanted a interior line defense player. So they actually traded up and went back up to number three and got Will Anderson.
From Alabama.
That was too big, like D'Amico Ryans. That was too big swings, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, D'Amico Ryans coming across from San Francisco. So, him having the head coaching job, I think it's a very, as they say, rah rah type hire. I think he's a former Houston Texan himself. So I think it's a very sort of rally the troops kind of hire. You would think their defensive structures will be fairly solid, by all means, I think CJ Stroud, obviously the future there. He'll beat out Davis Mills for the starting job there, and the only way really for all of these teams in this division is up. So, I think they can make improvements. I think there's been some big raps over the young wide receiver Tank Dell there. I think they've got some high hopes for him. And he shouldn't be a wide receiver. Like, he should be a running back, honestly.
Tank Dell, what a name.
The name like Tank.
I love it. He should be a running back. Next teams, you're right. Actually, looking at all these teams, it's kind of only way sort of to go is up. This is the Indianapolis Colts, who sort of stayed strong in the draft, and in their mind, the best quarterback, but the way it played out, the third quarterback
fell to them, and that was Anthony Richards.
And that didn't do much, which is good.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly who they wanted by the sounds of it. So, they look, it's a good move for them because, like, the last two seasons, it was Carson Wentz. They tried that. Then they tried Matt Ryan. They both flopped in the last two seasons. So
they're starting quarterback. They've had a different starting quarterback for the last 6 years.
Well, that's so right. Nothing's ever worked since Andrew Luck when they drafted him.
Unfortunately. They've
kind of put a little bit of a curse over him, just a little bit, because since then, his unexpected retirement, which he's obviously fine to do, and that's what he wanted. But since that retirement, they just can't do it up their quarterback era.
They sort of went the old route, the old head route, and now it's just like, righto, it's the youth movement time now. Let's hitch our wagon to Anthony Richards, Anthony Richardson, and that's where they're going with. So he'll be the starter straight up. Unfortunately, he's not going to have a little bit of a safety net in Jonathan Taylor. It's been a bit messy, leading up to the season with the situation with Taylor. He's on the IR at the moment, so he's going to miss the first 4 weeks of the season. He went out there, demanded a trade. Nothing happened. There was only a few teams that were interested.
He only demanded a trade because he kind of wanted to get a paid extension, and
they wouldn't grant it.
Their owner, who's starting to turn into a little bit of a wild card owner, like your Dan Snyder's of the world. Not yet, but he's starting to turn into it. He's a bit out there. Basically said running backs aren't worth the money that they're getting now.
But he's funnily enough, when he's put on the trade block though, he's going out there and he's asking Miami, "Hey, I want Jalen Waddle." He's asking unreasonable amounts or a first round pick, but you won't give him the money. You want the asset, and you want somebody else to pay that much. He's one of the best young running backs going around. He's had a phenomenal last two seasons. It's just unfortunately it's turning into, the NFL is turning into the running backs are just becoming completely disposable, and like we talked about before, Dalvin Cook. How did nobody want to pick him up? Obviously his price was too high. He backed himself. Nobody wanted to pay the money. This is the exact same thing. But they said Jim Irsay we don't want to pay you the fat contract. Oh, well, but anybody, if you want to trade for him, oh, no, we definitely want a first. Yeah, no, we want a first. Or Miami, give us Jalen Brown. Like, give me a break. Like, it's lunacy.
So at least they're just like the Texans. They're in a rebuilding year, so to speak, because any new quarterback you kind of have to be in a rebuilding year.
Well, it's new quarterback, it's new head coach. Like Frank Reich's gone now. He's in Carolina.
He's supposed to be this offensive god that was at the Eagles. So and they talked him up. So hopefully that sort of worked out for him.
Yeah.
Next team who won the division last year and seemed to be on the up, and that's the Jacksonville Jaguars, which everyone took a massive leap forward last year under Doug Peterson's first year. Technically this is not a signing from this year because he actually got traded last year, but I mean the key addition of Mr. Calvin Ridley, who'll be healthy and ready to play week one. Along with Evan Ingram. They've got a kind of nice core. Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, Calvin Ridley, and Zay Jones. That core is not too bad, personally.
Yeah. Just keep Calvin Ridley off the betting apps and away from the casino. So,
At least he bet his own team. It would have been worse if you went, went the other way, obviously.
Who is he? Pete Rose? Like, that's... That's not a good thing.
I think they just need to do what they sort of did last year and just prove it wasn't a fluke and then win the division. I think that's what else they needed to do.
This realistically for the Jags should be such an easy division to win. So you hope that they don't take it easy. You want to see them, you know, keep the pedal to the metal, and you want progression again, I think, from Trevor Lawrence. I think, yeah, he's still got so much more potential to go. They could probably improve a little bit defensively, but I think that they've still got Josh Allen there. So, but yeah, they need to just keep pedal to the metal, and then they really should be runaway division winners here.
Well, my pick, sort of saying it out loud now, is the next team. I just it's the Tennessee Titans. And this is not on the back of Ryan Tannehill, but Mike Vrabel got them where they were last year, nearly to win this division with what he had last year. Not much has changed this year. That Mike Vrabel's a very, very good coach. And if they can somehow work out the quarterback situation with, getting younger, and Derrick Henry's healthy, they still have a chance of winning this division personally.
No, that's right. They
had longer odds.
That's where your winner comes in is can they once again ride the coattails of Derrick Henry, because Tannehill ain't winning this division. They showed that Malik Willis last year is far, far from ready to be an NFL starter. And they drafted Will Levis, who dropped badly in the draft. There was consensus that he was going to be a first rounder, and he dropped into the second round, and he sort of fell into, not so much fell into Tennessee's hands, but it was just such a bizarre pick. Like, you know, have they given up on Willis already? Why waste the second round draft pick on Will Levis and have, you know, two young quarterbacks fighting each other out to be the backup, the Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, so that's what it is for me. I thought the same thing. It's not so much I don't mind it in the second round, but why do you still have Ryan Tannehill then if that's the case? You know,
right.
You may as well, if you think you do another year, then do another year. After this year, I think if they don't win this division or get anywhere in this division, I think they need to move Tannehill on. And then start the rebuild, like, you know, see where Derrick Henry is, see what he wants to do.
Could have started the rebuild now. Like, you know, if you don't think Malik Willis is right, then you do draft Will Levis. You're not going to know until they see the field in meaningful games, not garbage games at the end of the season where, you know, there's not a whole lot of line. Tennessee, this past year, there was still a little bit on the line. They still had a chance to win the division. The inclusion of DeAndre Hopkins will help that, you know, will definitely help Tannehill out in having a legit. I still think he's got plenty to give in the league. So
I picked them in the division. This is the only reason I picked them to win this division is they're still drafting slash picking up these free agents and trading for them like they're trying to win. You know, like you've got Derrick Henry, you've got DeAndre Hopkins, you've kept Tannehill, so you clearly still want to win this division. You're not at the point of rebuilding. And the $4.11 was just too tempting to take personally.
That's it. So, I still think Jacksonville will win this in a canter.
So moving on to the last division, and that's the AFC West. In alphabetical, the first team is the much maligned last year Denver Broncos. I'm not sure what happened. You said it to me last time. What happened in this team that sort of, what was so big in this team? Why is everyone talking about this team this year?
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. Any reason? They made some sort of head coaching move. I don't know if you've heard of the guy before. He was on TV a little bit last year with Fox. Didn't really take.
It was on great TV last year.
Yeah, so they've got former Super Bowl winning coach Sean Payton.
Who they paid a pretty penny.
He's credible. He had one of the all-time greats in New Orleans. Innovative offense. Correct. Is he the guy to essentially shoot a rocket up Russell Wilson's ass? Because last year for him under Nathaniel Hackett was just, it was some of their games were unbearable to watch. To see what Russell Wilson had become in a Denver uniform, really, well, it really was. It was tough to watch last year. Some of their games were just, they're brutal.
And I think Russell Wilson, they probably petitioned a little bit for Sean Payton, since his best friend, Russell Wilson's literally best friend, Drew Brees, who he lives down the road from, sort of got them.
Drew Brees has spotted multiple times in training, so.
Russell loves him. Russell thinks, like, he's, you know, Russell has always come out and said he's one of the best quarterbacks ever. And I know what you think of Drew Brees. We don't know two bones about it. But I don't think he might like Drew Brees, but I don't think he plays like Drew Brees, even though I think he thinks he's like Drew Brees. He thinks he's like Drew Brees.
Two totally different quarterbacks.
He just doesn't have the accuracy. Like he's the same size as Drew. He's a bit bold. Well, I shouldn't say
he's
bulky.
He's bulkier.
He's slimmed down.
He's bulky down a lot. They're essentially the same
height. He's lost like 30 pounds, apparently. So he's going back to the old sort of Russell Wilson. Look, I don't know. I as great as Sean Payton is, does that translate into could translate into a positive season. I don't think it's going to translate into a winning division season.
They won't win the division because this division's kind of got the reigning defending Super Bowl champions. So they're not winning the division by any stretch of the imagination, but you definitely want to see innovation. You want to see Russell Wilson get back to, back on the horse, so to speak. They've had Tim Patrick again pretty much go, he's gone for the season again. So he's had a wretched run with Ennis. He was a promising young wide receiver. You see, tore his Achilles. So that's a bit of blow for them in the wide receiver stocks. The signing of Frank Clark from Kansas City is massive for them, I think. They've always had a good defensive squad. Sean Payton won't really worry about that too much. His main focus is to get Russell Wilson's head back in the game and him playing good football, competent football, winning football.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's like, I don't think there's no expectations, at least, on Sean Payton to win this division. So,
I still think there's pressure on Payton. Like you hear all the stuff that,
bit.
That he's been talking in the media and stuff over the last few weeks. Giving Nathaniel Hackett shit, calling him out. Yeah, he's obviously the offensive coordinator now at the New York Jets, which I didn't think we touched on when we talked about them. That's Aaron Rodgers' boy. Loves the off. He's a two-time back-to-back MVP under Nathaniel Hackett, in his offense. So obviously it was a disaster with him. And it was unbelievable how south it went and how quickly south it went. And that they had no hesitations in getting rid of him after only one season at the Broncos, which was pretty scary. So they needed some stability. They needed some credibility at the head coaching position. And they've got it in Sean Payton.
So the next team is the Kansas City Chiefs, the reigning Super Bowl champions.
That's right, Paul Heyman, the reigning, defending, undisputed Super Bowl champions.
I don't really need to spend much on them for the fact of, I guess really after Orlando, they let Orlando Brown walk to the Bengals, but they did quickly pick up Juwan Taylor from the Jaguars. I guess, have they done enough in your eyes both ways to, I think win this division, but are they Super Bowl contenders again?
You got Patrick Mahomes, you got Travis Kelce, you're a Super Bowl contender.
You got Andy Reid, you're definitely a Super Bowl
contender. You got Andy Reid. Yeah. They've lost Eric. Look, the unknown is how this offense will run and click without Eric Bieniemy being there.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
And they're kicking the season off this year against the Lions, and everybody's on upset alert. Ooh, look out! Here come the Lions. It looks like that they could be without Travis Kelce. Looks like he's day to day, so he might not play. Chris Jones is on a holdout at the moment, so it's looking like he's not going to play. So they could be left in the lurch there, a little bit undermanned. I don't think they'll have any problems with beating the Lions in the season opener because it's at home. They're revealing the banner, you know, Super Bowl champions from last year. So I think they'll be emotionally up for the game. I 100% do not believe in the Detroit Lions simply because of the fact that they are the Detroit Lions. So I'm not too worried about that that opening game for the Chiefs. But, you know, for me, it's the juggernaut will continue to roll on.
The next team is the where the Super Bowl is being played, actually, this year, and that's the Las Vegas Raiders. God damn, that Las Vegas is going to be insane that week, because I think there's something else
going. Holy mackerel, that's going to be 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl of pure insanity.
I think there's something else. I can't remember, but I'm sure there's something else happening around that same time as well, the week before or something like that. But anyway.
In Vegas?
Oh, yeah.
NRL's going to Vegas just after that.
Yeah, and just before that is, you know, that new sphere they got there, that weird-looking sphere that you can see fly in that has an eye. Yeah, you know who's playing there the week before? You too.
Oh, wow.
So that whole 2 weeks is going to be insane. But anyway.
Man, there's going to be some trippers in Vegas for that 2 weeks.
There's going to be some serious millions and billions spent in Vegas.
Oh, man. Casino owners are biggest, just rubbing their hands together.
So New England Raiders, sorry, I mean the Las Vegas Raiders, seems to keep signing every New England Patriots side. That's why I said the New England Raiders. they picked up Jacoby Myers. Their coach is Josh McDaniels. Signed.
They got quarterback New England Patriots, Jimmy G.
Yeah, so they pretty much dumped Derek Carr. What do you think of that? Is Jimmy G there?
Durability's always been his issue.
Mm-hmm.
Keep him healthy. You know, as look, when he signed, all the hoopla that went around it, you know, after basically Derek Carr sort of, picked up and left. Well, you know, now he's gone to New Orleans. I think what did they sign him for? It was like 3 years, $73 million or something like that. So probably not too bad a price. But they did put in like a waiver if he didn't look like he was going to recover from that foot surgery. Yep. They had the right to waive him by a certain date. He's fine. He's going to be the starter. Then just before the season is kicked off this week, he's restructured his deal. So that sort of lowered their cap hit by like $17 million. So, he's doing everything he can to sort of, I don't know, be a team guy. They're hitching their wagon to all Jimmy G does. He's got an unbelievable winning record when he's healthy.
That's right. It is an interesting signing. Their defense was good last year. It was their offense that was a bit shaky. They, after sort of a mini holdout, they re-signed Josh Jacobs to a 1 year contract. Jacoby Myers, I would have said, I know you got Devontae Adams there, but Jacoby Myers was, for me at least, was a very competent wide receiver at the Patriots. So I would have sort of sleep on him. He's a good player. He's a very good player. I don't think they're going to win this division. I think they'll do better than the 6-11 on last year. That's where I think they could force their way to a better 500 team. But time will tell, obviously.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the last side is the Los Angeles Chargers. They basically stole my offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, from the Cowboys. which is a sneaky pretty good pickup for them, because Kellen Moore loves to throw the ball, or loves to have an offense where he loves to throw the ball and use a bell cow when he does. And what have they got there? The bell cow and Eckler, and they've got one that loves to throw the ball, Justin Herbert. So it's tailor made for this idea. He could. My gut feeling is if they don't start strong, I feel like he's be their head coach by the end of the year, at least halfway through. I don't see the head coach lasting if they start slow, personally.
Brandon Staley. For me, yeah, Brandon Staley has got one of the most pressure filled coaching positions this year. Pressure's on him.
Yeah.
He's brutal. He's almost like Mike McCarthy, brutal at clock management. He's supposed to be the defensive wizard that they've got. They cannot stop the rush. They proved that over the last couple of years that everybody just stomps all over him in the run game. Like I said, having Kellen Moore there will take the responsibility off him, possibly being a chief playmate, play caller for the offensive side. That'll take the pressure off him, so he can probably focus a little bit more defensively, which is a good thing. Look, they've got a pretty healthy defensive side. Joey Bosa, they've got Khalil Mack this year. So I think defensively, they can really step up to the plate. They got some hard hitters on that side of the ball. Like the rookie Tui Pilotu, he's a massive unit. For a linebacker. So that they got some real heavy hitters on the defensive side, and I think that's the offense. I think the offense will take care of itself. I think it could be a nice, really good free flowing offense. I think that could be explosive. It'll be can they stop the run like they haven't been able to show the last couple of years? And yeah, it's me. And can they contain the opponent's quarterback?
And can they stay healthy? Because their side, speaking of, is not getting any younger. Like their running back's 29 and their two wide receiver, Keenan Allen's 30. And I mean, I hate saying all this because to me, well, especially at our age, 29, 30 doesn't sound too old, but in NFL years, it seems to be old. And Mike Williams, so their offensive guys need to stay healthy. They did pick up, is it Quentin Johnson, the wide receivers? Yeah, Quentin Johnson on the 22nd pick, and who I thought was a decent pickup for them because, I mean, they are not getting any younger, realistically. And
that's right.
He could play third receiver and then possibly move into that second receiver or first receiver later.
He can be a contributor on the offense straight away.
And no, I totally agree. So that wraps up the AFC West. I think we're both kind of in agreement that it's going to be Chiefs winning this division kind of easily, I guess.
I mean... You would think easily.
I didn't say easily. They should win. But it's another tough division.
If the competition that was if they can rise just that little bit, if Denver can be a little bit better, if the Chargers cannot have an absolute all-time collapse in a playoff game like they did last year against Jacksonville, which you could only assume would have haunted them all off season, they need to be a goldfish, totally forget about that and just like forget about that game and just say, yes, we made the playoffs last year. Let's aim for that again. Let's try and close the gap between us and the Kansas City Chiefs. And I thought last year Kansas City would regress with the losses that they had.
Yeah.
They didn't. They're continuing to have those losses, and I think a massive loss for them is Eric Bieniemy. So that's we'll see how that offense rolls on.
Yeah, I agree, but it's still. I mean, look, we all thought that last year. Look what they did. So
no, exactly.
I still think it's theirs to lose.
personally, at the moment.
Yeah, no,
at the moment.
Yeah, it is. But it'll just be if there's a rising competition within the division, if yeah those divisional games in the AFC West, I think could be fairly competitive, most of them. So and that's always the key, man. You play your divisional opponents twice, so they're the games that you got to have. Yeah, you got to get your heads up over, win your non divisional games. But yeah, that could be a really serious bloodbath of a division, I think.
That'll do us for at least the AFC side. We'll come back in a separate pod with the NFC. So we might save our goodbyes for then. We could say goodbye, but we might save our shout-outs and everything till then, because we'll come straight back on with the NFC straight away, I think.
So check us out straight up after this. Yeah, you'll be able to find it. They'll be right next to each other in your playlists. So we'll hit the NFC next. So we'll take a break and stay tuned for the NFC.
See you soon.